Good morning. Welcome back, and continue to pray for us concerning the forest fires in New Mexico and the recovery from it and the evacuees getting back home and figuring out what to do next and those who lost homes to figure out how to get them rebuilt. And things really change when a natural disaster happens, so be in prayer about that, please. And we've been very, very dry in the Southwest. We've had quite a drought going on. And that's part of the prophecies of the end times, just the nature of the thing that God has put us in. This world is temporal, and it has cycles as well. So just pray that you'll help, that God will help us in the time that we live in, and that he'll give us a sense of confidence for the future. That's one of the reasons I decided to continue the series on the resurrection, because some people have actually come to me and told me that they have a lot of anxiety. And we have a small Airbnb business, and a couple that were evacuated out of the fire area, I talked to them, and they were real. You could tell they hadn't slept. You could tell they were totally stressed out. Their faces were drawn. They were nervous. They were staring at the computer to watch the fire updates, and managed to help them to understand how to get away from that and not to worry about trying to change something that they couldn't change, but to try to trust in God. So I wanted to give you some more information about the resurrection, because the resurrection of Jesus is a well-known fact in Christendom, obviously. And if you're a believer, you totally believe it. But did you know that the resurrection power is actually for you in your life now, and that it can really bring a sense of calm to you and a sense of overcoming in your life and the circumstances of life, that even when stressful things are going on, that God can help you with the power of the resurrection to give you a peace that the Bible says passes all understanding? So I wanted to share some of this with you, and I'm going to develop this further as the summer progresses, about how God can help you to face the difficulties of stressful times. We've all been under a lot of pressure since COVID and the social unrest and the political unrest and everything, and the war and all, and inflation and everything that's been going on. It just seems, when you pay attention to all of it, it's almost overwhelming. And then there's just the regular things of life that happen, like cancer or surgeries or illnesses in the family or setbacks, all of the things that happen in life. So I want to try to give to you some understanding of how you can face things. People ask me often how come I'm not shaken by a lot of the things that have happened in my life. And just to share with you, in my life since I came to Grace Community Church, a year after I got here, my father died of pancreatic cancer. A year after that, one of my nephews, who kind of grew up in this church, hung himself. And then another couple of years after that, I think my sister died. And then my son was killed. And then, I mean, I could go on and on and on to tell you all kinds of things that have happened in my life. And I'm still solid as a rock because God is solid as a rock. It's not really me. It's God that gives us this capacity to be able to face things and go through them. There's a Bible verse: when you walk through the waters, I will be there. When you go through the flame, I will be there. He doesn't say that you won't go through the waters, that you won't go through the flame, that you won't go through the difficult times. He's saying that he will be there with you as you go through them, okay? Because going through them teaches you lessons that you would never learn otherwise. So the resurrection power of God, the resurrection power that he used or utilized, or with you, if you will, demonstrated, that might be the better word, when he resurrected Jesus from the dead, is the power that is in you now, if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, you need to first be born again. And hopefully this sermon will show this to you as well. So God revealed his plan to save us long ago. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, an apostle, chosen and called by God to preach his good news. This good news was promised by God long ago through his prophets, written in the Holy Scriptures. So from Genesis all the way to Malachi, the plan of salvation concerns his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. As to his humanity, he was born a descendant of David. As to his divine holiness, he was shown to be the Son of God with great power by being raised from death. So, God revealed this plan to save us and to deal with our situation as human beings long, long ago, since Genesis, if you know the Bible at all. Since Genesis, he already anticipated what would happen. And this plan unfolded through human history with what happened after Adam and Eve and after Cain slew Abel and after Seth replaced Abel and then Noah was born and then the flood came and then after the flood, Noah's descendant Abraham was called by God and then through Abraham came the patriarchs and through the patriarchs came Israel and through Israel came the Savior to us. And much more is in there, okay, a whole lot more. But God revealed this plan and it's been unfolding in human time and history since the beginning, long, long ago, okay? It's there for us. Now watch. This plan is revealed in Jesus's identity, and God revealed this identity of the Savior by the resurrection. Many people have lived and died in human history, many good people, King David, Moses, Abraham, Noah, etc. And then there's others that you might point to that you're might be impressed with that did really good things like Abraham Lincoln or Martin Luther King or others who have stood out in history as good people. But Jesus is identified in history uniquely by the resurrection. All the other people that have been good people in the past, they lived, they died, and that's it. Okay? Jesus, however, lived and he died, but he rose from the dead. No one else has ever done this, not even Moses, not even David. No one else has ever gotten up out of the grave. None of the good people that you might think about, even in modern history, they haven't gotten up from the grave. Jesus did. And God reveals Jesus's identity by the resurrection. The resurrection is important for this purpose. Watch. He was shown to be the Son of God with great power by being raised from death. Jesus was shown publicly to the world by God to be the identifiable Son of God with the power of the resurrection. Through him, God gave me the privilege of being an apostle for the sake of Christ in order to lead people of all nations to believe and obey. This also includes you who are in Rome, whom God has called to belong to Jesus Christ. All of us are called. Once you come to a relationship with God through Christ, you are now called. You're called to help others to know. That's what you're called for. God wants you to share with other people around you what you now know. And what you now know is so powerful, so amazing, that it is beyond description amazing, okay? He saves us, and he doesn't immediately take us into heaven. Sometimes he does. But he saves us for the purpose of being useful here in a world that needs so desperately to hear about the solution to death and decay and confusion and darkness. He is the solution, and you and I have it. And the strategy of God is to save many people all over the world in all the circles of families in the world, and they touch each other. Okay, all those circles touch. We all have, I think it's only 7 points of that separate us from one another. Somebody wrote a book about that. 7 people. I know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that you know, kind of a deal. We're all connected. And if we all start telling people about Christ and about his power to save, everybody's going to hear. Everybody will understand. Not all will accept, not all will turn to the Lord, but that doesn't matter. What matters is that we're faithful to being called to be. The word apostle means sent one. So in a way, all of us are apostles. We're sent by God into this world. So God revealed Jesus' identity by the resurrection. The Holy Spirit helps us to know God, the power of the resurrection and all its promises, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit isn't given by God to be in your life some kind of a feeling or some kind of a superpower force like they have in the Marvel comic book modern movies. The Holy Spirit gives to a believer the ability to know God, to start to know God, to know what the resurrection is, and the promises that are inherent in it, connected to it, okay? Watch what he says here in Ephesians, same author, the Apostle Paul. I have not stopped giving thanks to God for you. I remember you in my prayers, and I ask the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, to give you the Spirit. Now, why is the Apostle Paul asking that? Because every believer is granted access to the Holy Spirit, but he's basically praying that God would increase your exposure to the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit, says here, underlined, will make you wise to reveal God to you. The Holy Spirit helps you through the Word, through understanding, by reading the Bible and praying. He will help you to understand the nature of God. It's not like the Holy Spirit comes to you and poof, everybody gets their own personal little Bible and their own little personal experience with God that is different from everyone else. It's not that at all. The Holy Spirit opens your mind and your heart up to see this plan of God that went all the way back to Genesis and before, actually, because the Bible teaches this, before the foundations of the world, Christ was slain, that God had this anticipated since before everything came into existence, so that you will know him. I ask, Paul's still saying here, I'm praying to God that your mind may be opened. When your mind is closed to God, it's very difficult to choose to teach somebody whose mind is blocked. It's almost as if we're in a special needs situation where somebody's got a learning deficiency. Our mind needs to be unlocked, needs to be opened, needs to be spiritually opened in order for us to see his light. The Bible actually talks about this in other places where it says the God of this age has blinded the mind of the unbeliever. Why is the mind the battleground? Because as you think, so are you. And if you think that God doesn't exist, and if you think that because there's evil out there and there's darkness out there and there's all of the things that we complain about out there, and they are, and you let that govern you, you won't believe that there is a God and a God of light. If there's really a God, why does he let this forest fire happen and everybody's homes burn down? If there's really a God, why doesn't he send rain? If there's really a God, why doesn't he stop inflation? If there's really a God, why does he let people die? All of these things that we complain about without realizing, like it says in Proverbs, the fool's, a man's own ways ruin his life, and then his heart rages against God. We look at the world and we complain about its situation and we're angry at God, and we don't stop to think that, wait a minute, what is it that's causing all of this stuff, or a lot of it, not all of it? What's causing a lot of it? It's our own behaviors that are causing this as individuals and as collective human beings. Things that we are doing to ruin the environment, to create war and disaster. A lot of the famines are not created because there's not enough food. It's because of all of the wars and all of the conflicts that are going on. There's a lot of things that have been happening in the world that we use to complain against God. And so we start jumping to the conclusion that there's not really a God. I don't believe there's a God, because if there was, he wouldn't be like this. And we need to stop and say, wait a minute, things are the way they are, and it's not because of God. It's because of us. Now, yes, God governs all of these things. He doesn't shrink back from this. I'll teach you about this maybe next week, where God actually says, I'm the one that creates light, and I allow darkness, and I decree disaster. And he does these things, it says in the book of Isaiah, because it's for purposes that you and I don't understand. Because God is playing, not playing, it's a long game from God's perspective. He's playing for eternity. He's got an eye in eternity. So he's looking at souls of human beings, men and women and children, who maybe don't even yet exist. And he's looking into the future about them. So that you will know the hope to which he has called you, how rich are his wonderful blessings that he promises to his people. So the Holy Spirit will help you to know God, will help you to know what the resurrection is and all of the promises in it. So the power of the resurrection is actually at work in a believer. Now, the resurrection, we know, we talk about it every so-called Easter. I like to call it Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection, the day of the Lord. He rose on the day after Sabbath. It never was called Easter in the Bible. It was always called his resurrection. But that power is not just a power that resurrected him from the dead, and yay, that's good for Jesus, he rose from the dead, yay, what about me? I live in this world, and it's difficult, and it's hard, and there's disappointment, and discouragement, and death, and sickness, and there's all these things that happen in this world, what about me? Nice that Jesus was able to get up from the dead, but what about me? Well, what about you as a believer? That same power is in you. You may not know it, but you do need to know it. That's why Paul starts this teaching off with, I pray that God will give you the Spirit so that you can understand this. Understand what? How great his power. How great is his power. How very great is his power at work in us who believe. So if you're a born-again believer, the power of God works in you. Watch, now underlined, I underlined this part. This power working in us is the same as the mighty strength which God used when he raised Jesus from death and seated him at his right hand in the heavens. Okay, that power that took a man that was dead for 3 days and took him out of the grave, and not just took him out of the grave and made him alive again, but actually exalted him and seated him in heaven. That's the same power that works in you and I. Now, who wields that power? You and I don't wield that power. Many Christian groups or even Christian individuals seem to think that they wield the power. They don't. This power is wielded by God. And this power is a power that is beyond this world. And it is the power that works inside of us. It is a great power. It is an awesome power, but it is a power that God uses in us to bring us to where we should be. I'll try to show you. The resurrection of Christ exalted him above all. He wasn't just resurrected to life again. He was resurrected and ascended into heaven itself and seated on the throne of God. Watch. Continuing the passage in Ephesians, he was raised far above all principality and power. All means all. All means all of the dictators, all of the Romans, all of the Americans, all of the Russians, all of the whatever you want to point at. Principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. He's higher than Putin. He's higher than Biden. He's higher than Trump. He's higher than Napoleon, than Hitler. He's higher than anyone that you could ever name. Every name that is named, he's higher than that name. Not only in this world, but also in the one to come. He's higher than Satan. He's higher than Gabriel. He's higher than Michael the Archangel. He is higher than all of them. And he has been placed above them all and hath put all things under his feet. That's why it says in the Gospels when Jesus rose just before he ascended, he told the disciples, all power is given unto me, therefore go. You're my disciples. You're my ambassadors on earth. You can go. You don't need permission from anybody. You can go and you can tell people about me. Even if they arrest you, even if they persecute you, even if they put you to death, you can go. And he gave him to be head over all things in the church. He is the Papa. He is the Pope. He is the leader of the church. He is not the vicar, the vicar of Christ on church. He is Christ in the church. He's still alive. He doesn't need a living representative on planet Earth. He is alive. He is the head of the church. He is the leader of the church. He is the Pope. He is the Father. The Bible calls him Papa. We call him Abba, Father. Papa is what the word means. That's where the word Pope actually came from. He is the Pope, not a human being, which is his body. The church is his body. It doesn't belong to any denomination, any individual, any religious group. His church is his church, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the resurrection of Christ, it is powerful. It took him out of the grave, being dead for 3 days and nights, and gave him physical life again. And not only that, ascended him into heaven and seated him above all power in eternal places. He is above all things. And that's the power that is at work in you and in I. But the first resurrection in your life is spiritual. It is a spiritual resurrection that needs to happen. That's what Jesus taught when he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. In another way, you must be resurrected from the dead, because you're dead spiritually until you come to know God. You don't know him, you come to know him. It's a spiritual resurrection just as dynamic and powerful as a physical resurrection. Watch. You hath he quickened. This is the old King James English here. I love this word because the word quickened means resurrected. You've been given life. He has quickened you. You were dead. You actually were dead in your trespasses and sins. When you didn't believe in God, when you shook your fist at him, and when you agreed with everybody that there can't be a God, you were dead. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, who governs all of the anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christian philosophies, religions, and forces in this world. He indicated this at the temptation of Christ in the desert, where he said to Jesus Christ, do you want to have an impact in this world? I'll give it to you. Just worship me, because it's all mine. I give it to whomever I want. What he meant, it's all mine, isn't the world, the planet. He is a usurper. It doesn't belong to him at all. He's a liar, Jesus said. It's not his. It was given to Adam and Eve. It's ours. He usurped the position of, if you will, social, political, spiritual oversight in the world. He's a usurper. He's the prince of the power of the air, the philosophies that are against God, against Christ, against the Bible, evolution, anti-Christian sentiment, anti-Bible sentiment, anti-God sentiment, anti-right and wrong. That's from him. It's from him. He is the enemy of God, the enemy of goodness, the enemy of Christ, the enemy of God's people. And we need to understand that, because if you don't understand that, you won't understand this battle that we are all in, among whom we also had our conversation in times past. That is to say, an old English way of saying, that's the way we lived and moved in that circle of unbelief and shaking our fist against God. And yeah, you're right, there's no God. Look, we got to just do this ourselves. We got to figure this out ourselves. In times past, and the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. So our first resurrection has to be spiritual. By the way, there are people, I think, who have made league with Satan himself. I've heard this, that there are, you know, I'm not a big, big conspiracy theorist, but I am a huge conspiracy theorist. What do you mean? Well, I know that there is a mind behind all of the anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Bible forces in the world. That mind is Lucifer. Jesus said he has a kingdom. He has gates. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So he is an intelligent being. He was an angel. He masquerades in Corinthians, it says, as an angel of light, because he used to be an angel of light. So there is an intelligence behind all of this anti-God sentiment and anti-Christian and anti-Bible system. There's an intelligence behind it, okay? And it's always operating. So I believe in that conspiracy for sure, because the Bible teaches it. Now, there are people that are in league with it that don't even know they are. They're unbelievers. They follow that. They follow anti-Christian, anti-God ways and philosophies and even religions and political stuff and social stuff. But they don't even know that what they're actually doing is being pulled and manipulated by the great puppet master Lucifer himself. But there's somebody greater than him, and it's the Lord God. and he can resurrect you spiritually. Even if you've made league with Satan, for those who think that there are people that made some kind of satanic pact with him, and they heard that statement that Jesus made that said, was made to Jesus by Lucifer, I can give it to whomever I want. So it goes this way. Some people say, well, some people think that, oh, Jesus didn't take it, but I will. So they went up to Satan. They said, hey, give me influence. Give me power. I'll worship you. Maybe there are Satan worshipers. Maybe there are. And you might even email me and say, well, I know they are. And here, I'll give you the link. I don't want the link. I don't care about the link. I know there are people that have... I grew up around that time when the heavy metal bands were happening and it was all about, you know, praising Lucifer and all of that stuff. I know people do those kinds of things. There's a history of people making league with satanic dark arts, dark magic, or whatever they want to call it, kind of stuff where they make league with the demonic world. I know that. But Jesus came and he delivered people from demons. Jesus came, and the Bible says he translates us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So even if you have made you actually have in writing, I did it with my own blood. I wrote, I love you, Satan. You're my God, and I can't get out of it. He won't let me out of it. He's a liar. God can get you out of it. Even if you made in your own blood writing, I gave my life to Satan, God can get you out of that. You can come back to God. You can be resurrected from the dead. You can be taken out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You need the first resurrection. You must be born again. You must be quickened. Leave all of that. It's nothing. There's no such thing as black magic and dark arts. It's nothing. God sees through the darkness. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He even knows exactly where Satan is and what Satan thinks, because God is everywhere. He's omniscient. You don't have to listen to the philosophies of this world. You can have the first resurrection. You can have the spiritual resurrection. God can quicken you. You need to stop listening to the ways of the world and the philosophies of the world and the smoke and the mirrors of man-made and, if you will, demonic-made stuff that keeps you away from God. Just say, no, I'm going to go to the Bible. I'm going to come back to God. I'm going to listen to God. Yes, it's that old-time religion. Yeah, grandma and grandpa, but, you know, we're more sophisticated now. Oh, no, you're not. You're just more clever about how to sin. The resurrection positioned us. It positioned us. If you're a believer, if you're born again, what happened to you when you were born again is this. When Jesus rose from the grave, the Bible teaches that even you rose from the grave. Watch this. God, who is rich in mercy, he's continuing the same passage, but God, who is rich in mercy. God is rich, beyond imagination rich. So rich that he says in the Old Testament, if I needed anything, I wouldn't tell you, for the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. I created all things. It's all mine. He is absolutely wealthy. Everything exists because of him. All the gold, all the jewels, all the resources, it's his. The billionaires here on earth, they can fight about it. Guess what? It's his. They're going to have to give it all back to him. Ask the pharaohs. It stayed with them in the pyramids, and they broke into it and got it all out anyway. I mean, we need him. He's the ultimate riches anyway. Having God is having all things. You don't need things and stuff. You need God. His great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in our sins. He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he, God, might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ. So the resurrection of Christ positioned us. As soon as you get quickened and born again, you are resurrected with Christ. It's almost as if it happened this way. When Jesus died on the cross, the sins of the world were paid for, and the temple of the curtain in the temple was torn in two, and the way to the Holy of the Holies is now open. Jesus was buried. When he rose to new life. And as he arose and ascended, he took captivity captive. everyone who would ever believe in him through time and through history, who had ever believed in him since Adam and Eve, everyone that believed in him and believes in him was also positioned with him. He rose, he ascended, we rose, we ascended. We are positioned, like it says, to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Watch. This is out of John MacArthur's commentary in the New Testament on this particular passage. God cannot give us more than he has already given us in his Son. There is nothing more to receive. The believer's need, therefore, is not to receive something more, but to do something more with what you are given. Our heavenly position and possession are so certain and secure that Paul speaks of God as God's having already raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're already there. The real you is actually there. It talks about this later on in Paul's epistles. Continuing, John MacArthur, God's divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. This is in 2 Peter. So God has given us everything we need. You don't need to ask God. You need to simply ask God to help you to take what he has given you so that you can do what you need to do. It is not that God will give us, but that he has already given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He has blessed us and has already given us every spiritual blessing. We are complete in him, Colossians 2:10. Our resources in God are not simply promised, they are possessed. Every Christian has what Paul calls the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1:19. Christ's riches are our riches. Listen to this. Christ's riches are our riches. His resources are our resources. His righteousness is our righteousness. And his power is our power. His position is our position. Where he is, we are. His privilege is our privilege. And what he is, we are. His possession is our possession. What he has, we have. His practice is our practice. What he does, we can do. We are those things and have those things and do those things by the grace of God, which never fails to work with us in those who trust him. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Okay, that's John MacArthur's comment on this issue of being seated with Christ. You actually don't have to pray for more faith. It's already been given to you. You don't have to pray for spiritual giftedness. It's been given to you. God has given to you everything you need. Jesus taught of the need of spiritual resurrection. Going back to John, before he gave his life on the cross, he was teaching about this from the get-go. He actually told Nicodemus, you don't know these things? You're the teacher of Israel and you don't know this? The basic need of a human being is to come into a relationship with God. The most basic need of any human being is to recognize I'm a sinner. I need to get back with God and get right with God. That's the most basic need. Here in John 5, he says this, just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life. Well, where in the scriptures did God ever do that? He did that with Elijah. He did that with Elisha. He does this anytime he wants. In Ezekiel, I read you a passage, I think, some time ago about Ezekiel being told by God to tell a whole valley of dry bones to come up, and they came up. God has power to resurrect dead people. Even so, he has given the Son to give life to whomever he wishes. Truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. So what's he teaching here? He's teaching about the spiritual resurrection. We all are resurrected spiritually, quickened, as we read in Ephesians, quickened out of the dead, and we pass out of death into life, out of spiritual death into spiritual life. When you hear the voice of Jesus, when you hear him, when you finally hear him, maybe you go to church and you heard the preacher, you heard the teacher or the boring priest and you didn't hear. But when you finally hear him and his voice finally breaks through to you, finally sitting in the pew, and you're not no longer going to be a bench warmer, a pew warmer anymore, but God himself is going to come to you, then you will live. Truly I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, since the time of Jesus Christ until he returns again, we are in this time, when the dead, that is the spiritually dead who do not know God, will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Those who hear will live. So notice, everyone hears about the gospel. Everyone hears about Jesus rising from the dead. Everyone hears there's a God. But how many hear the voice of the Son of God and actually live, turn to him in faith, get born again, give their lives to him? Some, but not all. For just as the Father has life in himself, God has life in himself. That's an amazing statement. Who is God? What is God? God is nothing but life, nothing but light. He is the epitome of all things that you could ever imagine. Art, beauty, love, light, blessing, it's him. It's not a thing, it's a person. For just as the Father has life in himself, he has given to the Son to have life in himself. So when you hear Jesus, you're responding to the one that actually life emanates from him. It didn't come from you and I. Life didn't come from me. When I was born into this world, there was already plants, there was already birds, there was already animals, other human beings. Life was already happening. Where did that come from? Well, it didn't come from me. I was brought into it, but it didn't come from me. It doesn't emanate from me. It emanates from God himself. That's why Revelation pictures God as he who is seated on the throne from which a river, crystal clear river of life came from. It emanates from God. When you hear the voice of the Son of God, Jesus, you will live. Jesus taught this, that he will resurrect all people, all who are believers and all who are unbelievers. Everyone will be resurrected. So he continues in his teaching here about resurrecting people. Some are going to hear my voice and they're going to live. Others are not, but guess don't marvel at that, because an hour is coming when all who are in their tombs, even the ones that didn't listen, they're going to hear me. They're going to hear his voice, and they're going to come out of their graves. And those who did the good deeds, and I put in parentheses here, that means placing faith in Christ to a resurrection of life, and those who committed the evil deeds, and I put here in parentheses, they rejected Christ to a resurrection of judgment. Jesus will resurrect all people. Look what it says here in Daniel. We read this. I don't know. I've done so many since Resurrection Sunday. I've done a few messages, but I already pointed this passage out. But here it is in Daniel. This is the angel speaking to Daniel about the end of time. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, some to everlasting life. That's just what Jesus said. Some will hear and they'll have everlasting life, but others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This teaching is embedded in the scriptures. It's for you and it's for I. The resurrection power of God is already in you. It's working in you. It will take you finally at the end of it all. It'll take you right into the very presence of God. It'll translate you out of this dying world that is slated to be replaced, destroyed and replaced, into the new heavens and the new earth, where the spirit world and the physical world will be married, where we will see God face to face and we'll experience God face to face. That's the power of the resurrection that's already occurring in you. It'll help you in your, if you will, humdrum life here in this world where things are happening and things seem so stressful and so difficult, like fires and natural disasters and political unrest and social unrest and COVID lockdowns and wars and the things that happen, tornadoes, the things that beset us all. You need God. Without him, how can you go through anything? Watch, let's read this together. This is a prayer by the Apostle Paul. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, in that reading, which is the final reading for this message, he says something here at the end, the power that works in us. Resurrection power is the resurrection power for you. It's already in you, it's working in you, and it will take you into eternity. But notice something else here. Notice that it is a four-dimensional kind of a love, the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ. God's love is beyond description. It is so wide, the breadth. It is so wide that it encompasses everything. Its length, or its height, if you will, its length, how long is it? Long enough to take you into eternity, long enough to deal with everything that ever happened in your past or will happen in your future. Its depth, how deep is it? No matter how deep you have fallen, no matter how deep the things of your life have been or are, he is with you. I will walk with you through the water, through the flame. Its height is above understanding. It's a four-dimensional love. It is beyond this world. So you and I have this. The resurrection power of God is for you. It's in you if you're born again, and if you're not, it can be in you. It will be in you. God will resurrect you even if you never believe. He'll resurrect you, and you'll stand in front of him, and you will regret not giving your life to Christ, because it's an eternal sin to say no to his salvation. It's an eternal sin. And you'll have this resurrection and a resurrection body that will exist forever away from him. That's something that is called hell. And you say, well, I don't believe in hell. You will. You will then, and so will everybody on in it or outside of it. We will all believe in it because it's a reality. God wouldn't lie to us. He does not lie. There is a place of excruciating separation from God. To me, it's not just the issue of hellfire. It's being separated from a God of love. It's not having his blessing, his presence. When Cain slew his brother and God told him that I'm going to banish you, I'm going to send you away, he goes, I cannot bear to be away from your presence. To be away from the presence of God is to be away from blessing, from encouragement, from life and light and love. You don't want to be away from him. You want to be with him. You want to be with him, don't you? You don't want to say no to him. He's your best friend. Why turn away from your best friend? Some of us have done that in the world. We've betrayed friends and family members. Stop it and start by starting with the right relationship. Get the best friend in the whole universe on your side. He loves you. He can forgive anything you've ever done. He can even take you out of a pact with Satan. How about that one? He can deliver you from the kingdom of darkness and translate you and quicken you into the kingdom of light. You don't have to stay in with the pact of the devil. You can get out of it. Don't listen to that. Listen to God. Listen to his promise. Listen to his guarantees. It's life, it's blessing, it's forever. The resurrection power is for all of us who love him. And Lord, one day we will be resurrected ultimately by you. You will take our dead bodies that are in the dust of this world or ashes or whatever, and you will reconstitute them into a new body that will never die, will never get old, will never get sick. We'll see you face to face. That's coming. We already have it. It's already guaranteed to us. It's already ours. We are already seated with Christ. It says in Ephesians that we're hidden with Christ and God. Our real selves are hidden with Christ and God. What we will really look like, who we will really be, we will all be beautiful. We will all be undying. We will all be delivered from sin and damnation. Lord, we thank you for these great promises, and we ask in Jesus' name that you would open the hearts and the minds of your people to not just know these things, but to understand that they are theirs already, and that they don't have to stress out, because for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, eternal gain. In Jesus' name, amen.